What is the comfort of God to us? When we think of the word comfort, it's interesting to consider even some simple illustrations that we will find in nature. The animal world, it loves to have its own comforts. You will notice that as you observe nature. There'd be a little polar bear would find comfort and protection in the fur of its mother. You will find all kinds of examples in the animal world of how those little creatures, they will enjoy the peace and the comfort and the protection of those that are around them. When you think of those who are domesticated animals, you will see a dog curl itself up in front of the fireplace and enjoy the warmth. And any animal like that knows where to find the heat, and it will enjoy that particular comfort. A cat may be coiled up over the radiator to enjoy the heat and the warmth. There are many, many examples that I know you have personally, examples that you could cite and say, yes, there's another picture of how the animal world just loves to have and be comforted by their owners or by the circumstances that they find themselves in. Of course, we are no different. We enjoy our comforts. We enjoy the comforts that are around us, and sometimes it might seem to us a persecution if these simple comforts that we become so accustomed to would be taken away from us for any reason, if we're deprived from them even for a little bit of time. People talk about comfort food, eating food which just makes you feel nice. It may not be the best for you. In fact, it may be considered to be junk food. Nonetheless, there's a degree of comfort in that when you're not feeling just the right way. Most of these things are for the pampering of the body, but are not necessary to life, really. Now, there is a whole different realm of discomfort when we consider our spiritual and our emotional side. Sometimes they are beyond our ability to describe. Because our souls can become so twisted, we can become so upset until all hope is nearly gone. It is then for the Christian that we find in those times of trial, those times of anxiety, we will find that there is comfort and peace that penetrates deep into the soul, and it produces a quietness, a stillness, so that all is calm, even though the storm may be raging on the outside. And that, my friends, is the comfort that comes from God to His people. The verse I want to draw your attention to this morning, really two of them. One phrase at the end of verse 3 and coming into the fourth verse. We read the whole of verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, this has to do with personal experience. This has to do with someone who has tasted of the grace of God, who knows the application of God's intervening grace into our lives, and that has produced for us the comfort of God. This is the source that we are very interested in this morning. Because though we might find the source of our comfort in temporal things, yet still those will not assist and aid us where we have need in our spiritual realm. We must come and turn our eyes by faith unto the one who is called in this text the God of all comfort, for He is the great source. This has been the theme that Paul is outlining now to the Corinthians in this second letter. For 10 times the word comfort is mentioned in the first 7 verses. So he's trying to get a message across to his people. He is trying to assure them that there is something that you can build on, something you can rest on, something you can take to the bank when you are in dire need and you must have the intervention of God. There is a comfort that we can rest on. The word comfort in the original is the word paraklesis, and it means a calling near, especially for help, for consolation, for comfort, or for solace. From this comes the word paraclete, which is used by the Lord Jesus, referring to the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who has and bears that very name. And of course, Christ said that before He would ascend up to glory, the Comforter would come. And the Holy Spirit, that one who would draw to our side. And my, there is no sweeter knowledge, no sweeter peace than when the Holy Spirit draws to your side to pour out upon you the comfort that is necessary in the time of your greatest need. He was the promised one that would come, and the purpose of the Spirit of God was indeed to reveal the things of Jesus Christ to His people. But there is something that is absolutely essential to the knowledge and understanding of what the ministry of the Holy Spirit was by the very name that He has been given. He is the great Comforter of the people of God, of His people. Our God is the God of all comfort. He is the real comfort for us, because it is from the Lord and from His ability to supply an unending quantity of comfort for His people that it never runs dry. For He is never weary of giving. For the Lord gives and gives and gives again. And as the hymn writer said, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving, it's only begun. For the Lord is the great giver, who gives and gives and gives again. You know how sad it is, but Satan, he peddles what we would call a bogus comfort, and the world will grasp after that. And they grasp after the comfort that they think they're going to draw from alcohol, or the comfort that is feigned presented to them through drugs, or through pleasures in this world, through filling their minds with thoughts that are impure from the internet or from the television or wherever they might find those immoral images. And those things are thought to bring comfort to them, to bring pleasure to them, but it's all bogus. It only ends in disaster. But how many Christians, sadly, may be ensnared with that same bogus idea of what is fulfillment, what is comfort, what is going to be satisfaction. And it all ends in disaster. It ends in great calamity. For men will find that sin at the end of the day will bite and devour. It will destroy. Have you been on the receiving end of that lately, Christian? Have you felt the sting of that sin? Having gone away from God? Having drifted off in your own direction? Is it time to repent and return unto your God? Is it time to repent and confess your sin and come back to the God of all comfort? David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, there is a comfort that comes only from the God of all comfort. Let me read you this portion that came from a man called Alexander Raleigh. He said, God makes a secret place and draws us into it wherever, in the city or in the wilderness, while on the sea, in the palace of the king or in the cottage of the slave. It matters not where, for the place where God draws near to provide for you the secret place of comfort for your soul in the time of anxiety or trial, you will find that to be the place of peace. What did God say to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 and verse 1? Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished. What was that talking about? It was speaking about the comfort that was going to come, because Christ, the great peacemaker, the great comfort provider, through His own lifeblood, providing for us salvation, providing redemption, providing atonement for us, that we might have peace with God and an everlasting comfort. Friend, do you know that today? Have you entered in to lay hold of Christ Jesus as your Savior, as the Lord of your life? Because if you do not know Him as Savior, you will never experience the comfort and the peace that He has provided for you in His Word. Turn, my friends, this very morning to the God of all comfort, for you will find in Him that resource, that strength that will keep you in every time of your need. So it doesn't matter if the storm is raging without, the fire is on, it is warm in the house, and the blanket is around you, and you've drawn near spiritually to your God, to your Lord, and you have found Him to support you and to envelop you, to encamp around you. With the arms of His love and grace, He is to you this day the God of your comfort. In verse 4, we find that there is support for the people of God. For it says, who comforteth us, that is God, in all our tribulation. Paul knew what tribulation was, for he has suffered much and had suffered much for the cause of Christ. But he knew that the Lord was standing by his side. Turn over for a moment to chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. And verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Oh, believer, enter into what Paul is saying there to those people. Enter into what he was experiencing and how he was able to encourage them. Yes, there were fightings without. There were wars and persecutions. There were trials that brought him to the very edge of death. And yet, he was able to say that, I am comforted in the Lord through you. I am comforted for wherewith God has shown you the experience of what I have gone through, and so your trial will be sweetened because you will know and experience that comfort that comes alone from the Lord. In Isaiah 51, the prophet said, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man that shall be his grass, and forget the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and hath feared continually every day before because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor?" And so God is saying to his people, the enemy is out and he roars, but where is the fury of this oppressor that comes against you? For I am the God who is your God, the God who is your comfort and your protection. This is a good promise. Whether you're a young person today in our church or whether you're an old person, it doesn't matter. It meets the need for everyone right through. This is our God. You know, the Lord knows every issue that troubles our lives. He knows the very smallest thing. He knows the anxiety of the workplace. He knows the trouble, believer, at home. He knows the tension with unsaved family members. And the Holy Spirit is the one who draws near and comforts us through all these tribulation and anxious times. You will notice the little word back in our text, the word "in." For God says that he will comfort us in all our tribulation. And this word teaches us that tribulation is a part of our lives. God could easily have said, "I am the God who removes all tribulation." But he didn't say that. He said, "I'm the God who comforts you in all tribulation." Because all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Friend, there is no easy road out of this. Every single child of God will go through times of testing, times of trial, times of anxiety and persecution, and you will face those times. But the truth of this is that your God is the God of comfort who will come to your aid. Let me ask you, believer, is God being glorified in your trial these days? The reason is that God will be glorified in us during the time of our difficulty, and the upset of a normal procedure, a normal time. I want to read you a little something that was written from a poem by Mrs. Cowman. It was entitled, "Broken in Order to Be Mended." Broken to be mended. "Jesus, our tears with blessed smiles are blending. For thou who knowest how our hearts do break, knowest the happy secret of their mending. And we rejoice in sorrow for thy sake. Yea, break us all to pieces at thy pleasure. For the poor fragments can be joined by thee. Snatch from us, if thou wilt, our every treasure. Possessing thee, we never poor can be. There is a sweetness in a spirit broken that lofty souls attain not, cannot know. To such a heart, thy promises are spoken. thou hast a solace for its silent woe. And when our weary days on earth are ended, and from its agitations we are free, we shall rejoice that we were broken, mended by thine own skillful hand, dear Lord, by thee. And so trials come. Testings come. Temptations come. And all of these things. And even in the fact when we are broken, and it seems that we're broken near destruction, but it's the Lord who will draw near, and with his comfort, he will put us back together again. He will mend. He will heal. The Lord is the one who will take care of us through every day, through all the way. Our God will take care of us. So, upon what ground do we have legitimate fear? Upon what warrant do we have to doubt the Lord? There is none. We become distressed. We become anxious and filled with care about many things. But all those things, most of them, are beyond our control anyway. We are called to trust in the Lord and to wait patiently for him. We're called to rest upon him, for he is the God who is able to apply the comfort and the healing to our souls. Friend, are you resting today in him? And then finally, the reason that God allows us to be comforted through our trials is that we may supply a need to other people. Look in verse 4. It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted from God. In other words, you're going through the experience right now, believer, that you can prove that God is sufficient by his grace to bring you through and to comfort you in those trials and bring you out the other side. Why? For what purpose? So that you're going to be able to apply that experience, that learning, to comfort someone else and to help them along their Christian way. That's how the Lord operates. That's how he uses his people and his church. Yes, my friend, Jesus is the reason that God gives to us. And as we look at Christ and we see his suffering, we see a great example. For the Lord Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But beyond all, the Lord Jesus suffered, the just one for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And as the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us the great example, the example of a servant, the example of one who laid down his life, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and so we are able to use that example, that we might be an example indeed to others. The Lord was marred more than any man. The Lord went through more than any of us will ever know or experience. And yet the Lord God in heaven allowed his Son to go through that. See, in verse 5 of this chapter, there is an association with Christ. Our Savior and his sufferings, they abound, and they are to abound in us. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Lord, may the sufferings of Christ be amplified in my life so that I might be an example to others. It's not often we'll pray that prayer. It's usually, Lord, take these things away from me, please. I've had enough. I don't want any more. I can't take any more. I've had enough up to here. But if you're saying that, then you're not proving God's grace and his comfort in your life. What is your end in view? What is your goal you're working toward? Let us not forget that God is working out His perfect will in our lives, and He's working out in us that we might glorify Him by seeing His will fulfilled in and through our lives. Dare we pray that prayer? Are we asking the Lord to bring us to the point where we say, I am finished with everything else now. I only want one thing in my life. I want to go on with the Lord. I want to go through with God, and that's all I want for my life to be. Are we prepared there, or are there still things holding us back? Are we still anchored down to this world? Still anchored to things that we put greater value and importance in? And when things happen, a little discomfort, a little inconvenience, a little persecution, and they plague us, are we where we are to be with the Lord? Come to the point of saying, let the Lord have His way in my life every day. For there is no peace and no rest until the Lord has His way. Remember that there is what I call a blessed reciprocation. For if I suffer that you may be comforted, you will suffer that I may be comforted. It works in both ways. There is a sharing one with another as brothers and sisters in Christ. In the local assembly, we are called to bear one another's burdens. We are called to enter in with that true and genuine love of Christ to bear what someone else is going through. And you might draw alongside to be the paraclete to a brother or sister in the Lord who needs to have that word of encouragement and needs to have that comfort that can only come through and by one who has experienced God's grace in that very specific area. Have you proved God this past week? Has the Lord granted you that peace of victory in seeing that besetting sin nailed down, not to rise? May the Lord give us that grace, and we might rejoice today in the fact that this God, this loving Savior, is the God of all comfort to us. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, this morning, I pray that the Spirit of God will take the word of the Lord and just stamp it upon each heart. Father, let no one misunderstand. Let no one leave this service today in any confused mind. I pray that we might come in simple faith to rest upon the great blessing that there is to be drawn from this truth. Lord, we also ask this day that any soul without Christ would come to trust in Him, calling upon the Lord, confessing sin, and saying, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Father, hear our prayers today. Save, we beseech Thee. Encourage those who are cast down to lift up their eyes unto the hill of God, from whence comes their strength and help. Hear us now, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn, please.